was a great introduction. I knew you had a good one planned, and that was good. Well, as you guys know, we have been in the Sermon on the Mount series, and I have been so, I've loved just hearing all the students this last semester of just the Sermon on the Mount and what they've had to say, and this is the second to last one, like Micah said, and I've kind of had this on my heart since, I think, like May. I think Megan told me about it back in May. That's when she first, like, approached me and asked if I wanted to do this. And Matthew is my favorite book in the Bible, not because the name is Matthew, but I was so excited when she asked me to preach on this. But I want to kind of just open up with a story really quick for you guys. So I used to play football when I was in middle school. I know that might be hard to believe because I don't really look like a football player. I didn't play all throughout high school. I quit after a while because I found out I was better at distance running. But when I played football, in middle school, our team really wasn't very good, and we would lose games all the time, and there was one year where we just hadn't won, like, a single game, and our team was getting kind of fed up about it, and we decided to talk about it, and so one of the things we used to do, I don't know if anyone else did this when you were in middle school, but this was kind of before group chats were a thing, and so we would have all of our, like, group discussions on someone's Instagram post in the comments section. Did anyone else do that in middle school? Was that just me? Wow, I think it was just me. Okay. But so we did that, and for some reason we started talking about our most recent game that our team had lost. And we started talking about just how we were losing, and one of the things I said was, and it had to do with our team being bad, I said, "Our team sucks." And back in middle school, you don't really just throw around the sucks word. That was kind of a swear word back in middle school. And so with that being said, my friend at the time had gotten his phone taken away, and he was a teammate of mine. And his dad decided to look at his phone and just check his feed and to see, you know, what was going on his son's social media. And he went to this post, and he went to the comments section, and he saw what I had said. He saw that I had said, "Our team sucks." And the worst part about all this was my friend's dad was the head coach of our football team. And so he was not very happy about what I had said. And let's just say I was in some big trouble when I got back to practice that next week. And so he pulled me aside privately, and he confronted me about it. And he said, "Matthew, if you do that again, you have to apologize to the whole team. If you do it a third time, that's three strikes, you're out, and you're off the team." So I never did it again, thankfully. But something that was so interesting about this story when I think about it is there's really two aspects about this story that stood out to me. One, my coach was making a proper judgment against me and calling me out on something that I did wrong in asking me to do better in return. And the other aspect was I was essentially pointing out the speck in my team's eye when there was a log in my own eye. And what I mean by that was I was calling out my team for losing when I myself was a part of the losing. I was losing on this team too, so I shouldn't be calling out my team when I'm doing this as well. And the worst part too was, like, I was like a bench warmer, so, like, I barely even played anyway, so I really shouldn't have been talking. But you guys, some of you guys might have heard that metaphor before. You might have heard that parable of the speck in the log. It might ring a bell to you. But that is in Matthew 7, 1 through 6. And that's the passage we're going to be in today. And so I want to read that to you guys today. So would you guys just join me in standing as I read God's word today? You don't have to read along with me. Just follow along as I read it. It says, "Judge not that you be not judged. For with the judgment you pronounce, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Why do you see the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, 'Let me take the speck out of your eye,' when there is the log in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. Do not give dogs what is holy, and do not throw your pearls before pigs, lest they trample them underfoot and turn to attack you." You guys can be seated. So you guys just join me as I pray today. Father, thank you so much for this word. Thank you for just the Sermon on the Mount and all the good sermons we've heard these last couple months. Father, I thank you for the lesson about proper judgment. And Holy Spirit, I just pray that you would speak through me today as I preach your word to everyone. We pray this in your name. Amen. Amen. I think one of the things to understand about this passage is really it's one of the most misunderstood passages in all of Scripture. And I think a lot of people, when they think about judging others in this passage specifically, they go to this passage, which is Matthew 7:1-6, and the title of it is Judging Others. And they see that, and they might just think to themselves, oh, that's just Jesus is just telling us not to judge others, which is partly true, but there's a bigger picture here. Jesus tells us about a right way to judge others. And Jesus is warning his disciples about those who choose not to judge righteously. And so, honestly, we make judgments all the time. Life is impossible without judgments, and we can't go a single day of our lives without making judgments. And you guys already made judgments today. I'm sure Maddie made a judgment on which coffee she wanted to get. But what are some judgments we make every day in our lives? How about, here's one for example. You're in a car and you're approaching an intersection and a light turns yellow. You make a judgment. Should I run this yellow light that's about to turn red, or should I slow down and stop? Yes, not me. I usually run it. Another one is, should I wear Air Force Ones or Vans today? I normally wear Ultra Boots. I'm not wearing them today, but if you see me, I'm wearing them like every single day. Another one is, should I get Diablo sauce for my chalupa? I mean, a lot of you guys can relate to that because a lot of us go to Taco Bell. I'm a beefy five-layer guy, so I don't ever get a chalupa. That's my go-to every single time. I'll never get anything differently. Anyways, throughout Jesus' ministry, and even later after this parable, Jesus makes judgments, and he tells us about making judgments. And I don't think Jesus would be saying, do not judge, if he didn't tell us to judge later in Scripture. Some scholars even suggest that Jesus is warning his disciples against being like the Pharisees, who were judgmental at times. And I'm sure you guys probably know about the Pharisees and certain stories within Scripture about the Pharisees. And so I want to read a specific Scripture to you guys today. You don't have to stand up for this one. But this is John 8:1-11, which is all about Jesus and the woman caught in adultery. It says, but Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. Early in the morning, he came again to the temple. All the people came to him, and he sat down and taught them. The scribes and the Pharisees brought a woman who had been caught in adultery, and placing her in the midst, they said to him, teacher, this woman has been caught in the act of adultery. Now in the law, Moses commanded us to stone such women. So what do you say? This they said to test him, that they might have some charge to bring against him. Jesus bent down and wrote with his finger on the ground. And as they continued to ask him, he stood up and said to them, let him who is without sin among you be the first to throw a stone at her. And once more he bent down and wrote on the ground. But when they heard it, they went away one by one, beginning with the older ones. And Jesus was left alone with the woman standing before him. Jesus stood up and said to her, woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you? She said, no one, Lord. And Jesus said, neither do I condemn you. Go, and from now on, sin no more. And so we see a few things in this passage. And I know this isn't really this passage I'm preaching on, but I really think it helps bring to life what the whole point of the passage is. But one of the things we see in this passage is that Jesus was calling out the Pharisees for their lack of self-evaluation. And the Pharisees were trying to punish and shame a woman for sinning when they themselves were guilty of sin. Jesus says, let him who is without sin among you be the first to throw a stone at her. And so throughout the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus teaches his disciples how to properly pursue righteousness. And there's a few ways he does this, and we've learned about this the last couple months, specifically in the Beatitudes. Some of the things he teaches are loving your enemies, forgiving debtors, and trusting God. And what's fascinating about these things that I noticed is that when we obey these commands, there is a reward that is promised. For example, in the Beatitude, blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. That tells us that if you show mercy, you will receive mercy. Chapter 6, verse 14 in Matthew says that if you forgive, you will be forgiven. And then my favorite verse, Matthew 6, verse 33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. That verse tells us those who trust God will be entrusted with the riches of the kingdom. But see, just as these things are reciprocal, mercy, forgiveness, and trust, so is judgment. Judgment is also reciprocal. And see, judgment starts with ourselves. And sometimes we are critical about the very thing in others that we ourselves are guilty of. And see, I was guilty of being a part of a losing team, yet I was dissing and making fun of my team for losing. But I myself was losing as well. And so we often criticize without evaluating ourselves first. And Jesus doesn't say stop judging. He says stop being a hypocrite. And so Jesus tells us of a proper way to make judgment. His goal is that we can exercise proper judgments for the benefit of others. Verse 5 says, first take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. And I don't want to overlook this last verse here because I think this one is so important. This last verse says, I want to just read it one more time. It says, do not give dogs what is holy, and do not throw your pearls before pigs, lest they trample them underfoot and turn to attack you. And so even Jesus uses judgment at times, and he gives a great example right here. You see, dogs were wild animals back then during this time. They were considered scavengers, a menace to people back then. They weren't really considered the same happy, friendly dogs and house pets that we all have today. I have a dog, so I know what that's like, but it wasn't really the same back then. And so they were considered unclean. Pigs were also considered unclean back then. I think pigs are probably still considered unclean these days. But some people have pet pigs, so I totally understand. I used to want one when I was little. But what this verse is saying is to give pigs your pearls or to feed dogs holy food is foolish because pigs don't wear pearls and dogs have no regard for what is holy and what isn't. And so what Jesus is talking about here is that there are people who can't take criticism. There are people who we will try to give proper judgments to, and they won't receive it. There are people we try to give constructive criticism to, and they won't receive it. And so what Jesus is saying here is that we need to discern if this person is going to receive criticism or if they will just lash out on us. And I'm sure we've all met people who have done stuff like that to us before. I think Jesus is also stressing to the disciples about a proper sense of humility. And I think what gives someone a spirit of humility is when they've done their own self-evaluation. And while this passage talks an awful lot about self-evaluation, which I've kind of touched on already, it also talks about a right way of making judgment. And I think it's important really to emphasize how vital righteous judgment is in a loving relationship. See, righteous judgment is a form of love. The type of judgment that Jesus tells his disciples about is done out of love for others and not condemnation. And if we don't have the same love for others, if we don't have the same love, but rather a condemning nature in our hearts, we show that we really don't know God's mercy and his forgiveness. And so we need to be people who make proper judgments. Too often we make judgments that aren't rooted in care for the other person. Most of the judgments we make are out of bad intentions. And I'm sure some of you guys can think of what those judgments are like, but I have an example here. I think it's going to be on the screen. But these are just a couple of them. One of them is we gossip about people. We gossip about them. We talk bad about them behind their backs. Another one is criticizing who they are, criticizing things that they can't help. Another one is envying. envying something about someone. Maybe we're jealous about something they do or something they have or something they're a part of or someone they're friends with. These are all ways we make judgments that aren't rooted in care for the other person. But a righteous judgment is rooted in care for others. And I want to give an illustration that I hope will bring this to life a little bit for you guys. But if you think about a doctor, specifically a surgeon, what a surgeon does is they make assessments that are wrong with you, and they go in to try to fix it. And oftentimes when someone needs surgery, it's painful and uncomfortable, but in the end, it is for their own good. And at the end of the day, a doctor or a surgeon's judgment is for the well-being of the patient. And I'm sure you guys can relate to times in your life, maybe you've had surgery before, maybe you've gotten your wisdom teeth out. I don't know if that counts as surgery. I haven't done that yet, so I still need to do that. But maybe you've gotten surgery before, or maybe you know someone who's gotten surgery before, and they can probably attest to the fact that it was definitely painful at first, and it definitely wasn't comfortable. I don't think anyone who's gotten out of surgery have said that they felt the best that they've ever felt right away. But in the long term, it's good for them. And that is essentially what this is talking about here. And I believe Jesus really gives a prime example here of what true friendship should look like in a biblical context. And so I want to give a contrast between something called wounds from a friend and wounds from an enemy. And I think it's on the screen for you guys to make it a little simplified for you, but I'll just explain it myself as well. Wounds from an enemy, for example, are meant to harm you. There's no good that comes out of them. And I'm sure all of us have experienced times in our lives when someone said something negative about us or made fun of us or hurt us in some way. And it was just, it's a wound, and there was no good that came out of it. But wounds from a friend are different. Wounds from a friend can be trusted. They help us. They help us become who we are ultimately called to be. And a friend will do that surgery in your life. They'll call out what is wrong in your life. They'll call out where you've messed up. And they'll help you. And they'll help you go forward from that. And an enemy won't do that for you. And so there's a couple Proverbs I have here that really talk about this. And I'm going to share them with you guys today. They'll be on the screen as well. The first one is Proverbs 18:24, which says, "A man of many companions may come to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother." Proverbs 27:6 says, "Faithful are the wounds of a friend, profuse are the kisses of an enemy." And so this really shows that the wounds from a friend benefit us in the long term. And while they may hurt temporarily, they are better for us in the long term. And that's really what judging others righteously comes out of, is it's a wound that might hurt. I mean, it hurts to be judged by someone. It hurts to be judged righteously. But at the end of the day, it's for our own good. And so I want to give just an application to you guys today. If there's anything you take away from this sermon, I believe this passage really gives three specific things to apply to our lives for going forward. And that is these three things, just to sum it up really quickly: when, how, and who. And so I'll start with number one and just work my way down. Number one, when. We need to know when to make proper judgments towards people. And like I've said already, Jesus calls us to evaluate ourselves before judging others. We need to check ourselves first and remove the log out of our own eye before we judge someone else. And we also need to make sure we're not living in the same sin that we are accusing someone else of living in. Number two is how. Our judgments towards people need to come out of the right intention. And what does it look like to actually judge somebody effectively? Righteous judgment is done out of love. And maybe someone has done this for you. Maybe there's a time in your life where you made a mistake. I mean, we've all made mistakes before. Maybe there's a time you messed up. But someone pulled you aside. Maybe it was a friend, a mentor, a pastor, a parent. And they called you out and they made a righteous judgment towards you. And that's what we need to do as well. And if I hadn't been called out for what I said about my football team, I would probably still be running my mouth on social media today, making fun of people or who knows what. But, I mean, that was really a turning point in my life, and I haven't looked back since. Number three is who. We need to discern whether or not people will receive proper judgment. And see, we all encounter people who are like the pigs and the dogs, who don't take proper judgment and criticism from us. And no, I'm not comparing people to pigs or dogs. I'm just talking about this verse specifically. But we need to have the discernment to know whether these people will receive proper judgment or if they will just deny it. And so I just want to leave you guys with this. Maybe you're sitting here today and there's a lot happening in your heart. I don't know what's on your mind today. I don't know what's on your heart. But maybe you hear this and you're thinking of a time when someone judged you. Or maybe there's someone on your mind right now that you might consider talking to after this. I just want to encourage you guys to take everything that you've heard today from me and just commit it to prayer. Just commit it to giving it to the Lord. You know, sometimes we are so quick to make a judgment towards others when our first reaction needs to be to approach the Lord and let the Holy Spirit guide us. And so that's what I want to do right now. So will you guys just pray with me today? Father, thank you so much for this passage. Thank you so much for teaching us about a right way to judge others, Father. And I'll know that although that's not maybe the happiest sermon we've ever heard before, God, I pray that we would just really take what you teach us in this passage and apply it to our lives. Father, give us the discernment to know who will receive this judgment and who will not, God. Holy Spirit, I just pray that you guide us in every step of our lives. Father, I just lift up any student in here today who might be struggling with this concept today or just anything on their hearts, Father, whether they're stressed about finals coming up or concerts coming up, whatever it may be, Father. I just pray you comfort them and give them peace today. We pray all this in your mighty name. Amen. Amen. Thank you, guys.